Welcome to our Monday Messages podcast. This podcast is brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. We're looking at the incomparable Christ. There is none who compares with Jesus. He stands alone in all of human history. Join me as we look at our incomparable Christ.
Today we're continuing our emphasis on worship because, as you see from the discipleship cross, worship is very essential in our loving Jesus personally. Our level of loving Jesus cannot be separated from our level of worship, for worship is an expression of our love for our Lord. And an important part of worship is recognizing the one whom we worship. Therefore, we're looking at the incomparable Christ. None compares with Christ. The term incomparable can only be used to speak of God, because He alone is beyond comparison, because there is no reference for comparison. Now, we have looked in the past at the incomparable Christ, the trash collector of humanity. I said that Jesus came, and He came for the purpose of collecting the trash of humanity and recycling that trash. He takes the trash and makes it a treasure. And then I said to you, He loves trash. And then we saw Him as not only the trash collector, but the incomparable Christ, the storm chaser. That He alone has control of all the storms in your life, and He alone is sovereign in those storms, and He can bring you through those storms victoriously. Today we're going to see the incomparable Christ, the doctor. And I'm going to say two things about the incomparable Christ, Dr. Jesus. First, He is incomparable doctor because He alone can heal, and secondly, He is incomparable doctor because He alone eradicated the root of diseases. Now, first of all, He alone is the incomparable doctor because He alone can heal. Now, you have never been healed by a doctor. Doctors do not have the ability to heal you. You've never been healed by medicine either. Medicine does not have the ability to heal you. Now, you go to a doctor so that he can determine as best he can what's wrong with you, and then he can prescribe a course of action that will help enable your body to heal itself. Let me give you an example. You get this sore throat. Man, it is killing you. And so you go to your doctor, and he looks in your throat, and he does a few tests, and he says, man, you got strep throat. All right, what has happened? All right, what's happened is that this bacteria has gotten into your system, and you have something called an immune system. It's kind of like an army. And the bacteria is like an invader. And when that bacteria got in your system, your army sought to attack it. But the invader was stronger than your body was able to attack, and so the bacteria continued to grow. Well, your doctor says, look, I got an antibiotic I want you to take. Well, that antibiotic is simply like special forces. In fact, they've been specially trained to attack just that kind of bacteria. And so you take that antibiotic, and what it does, it goes into your body, and it reinforces your army, and it helps defeat that bacteria. But you know what? That's all that antibiotic can do is defeat that bacteria. You still got to heal up. It simply allows that bacteria to get under control so that your army can take over and your natural healing processes of your body can bring about the healing that you need. Now, if you still have a problem believing that medicine can't heal you, just take a dead person. Put all the medicine you want in them, and it's not going to heal them, right? If there's an infection there, put all the medicine you want on it. It's not going to go away. And so no doctor except Dr. Jesus can heal you. You see, when Jesus healed, he eradicated, he reversed the disease and its effects. When Jesus heals, he removes the disease and reverses the effects as if it never happened. Now, all of us have either seen or know someone probably that has experienced a stroke or experienced some type of paralysis. And then, as they were rehabilitating, they had to learn how to walk all over again. You remember? What they were having to do is train their brain, was having to be retrained so that a part of their brain that might have been damaged by the stroke, another part had to kick in and learn how to communicate with the muscles in the leg so that the person would learn to walk all over again. You ever notice when Jesus healed a lame person? They didn't have to learn how to walk. Man, they jumped right up and walked. Now, how could that be? Because when Jesus healed them, he not only eradicated the disease, but he reversed the effects of it and brought healing immediately so that they were able to walk as if they had never had the disease. So look at Jesus' healings. You see that happening. You see, Jesus alone can heal. And therefore, he is incomparable. Now, with that in mind, over in Matthew 8, let's look at verses 14 through 17 as we see the incomparable Christ, Dr. Jesus. In respect for God's Word, let me ask you to stand. We'll begin in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in the bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. And when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. You may be seated. May the Father bless His Word. As the incomparable doctor who alone can heal, we see Jesus in this passage healing Peter's mother-in-law. Now first, let me say, she had a serious illness. This was not some mild virus that she had about 101 temperature. In fact, if you literally translate this verse 14 in the Greek, it is having been thrown in bed with a fever. Now Luke, when he writes about this account over in his gospel, remember Luke was a doctor. Okay? You know what he calls it? He calls it a mega fever. That's right. Mega. Same word we saw for the storm last week. He said she had a mega fever. This was probably a life-threatening illness. And so Jesus goes in, he touches her, and immediately the fever leaves. Here we see Dr. Jesus' authority over sickness. She recovers immediately. Now, we don't see her faith involved in this at all. There are times, like with the centurion, that his faith was involved in the healing of his servant. But in this case, we don't see Peter's mother-in-law's faith at all mentioned. Jesus sovereignly came over, he touched her, and she was healed. Now, what does she do after she gets healed? She immediately gets up, verse 15, and waited on him. Now, you see this word, waited, that's the same word we get deacon. Means to minister to. In other words, she got up. She tended to Jesus' needs, fixed some food, maybe washed his feet, but she waited on him. Now, there are two things that I note in this incident. First, she recovered fully from the fever. You ever had a high fever? What do you feel like when it's over? Drained. It will just sap the energy right out of you. But what do you notice about Peter's mother-in-law? Healed instantaneously, and instantaneously she got up, she had the strength, she wanted to wait on Jesus. Again, it reemphasizes what I said earlier, that not only does Jesus eradicate disease, but He reverses the effects of it. He brings true healing. And then secondly, she wanted to wait on Jesus. And when Jesus heals you, either physically or spiritually, it's natural to want to serve Him. It's naturally to want to minister to Him out of gratitude, out of appreciation, out of love. It's a natural expression of our love to want to serve Jesus. Next, we see Jesus heals the demonized and the ill. In verse 16, when evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Now notice, He heals the demonized with a word. Now, I want to take a moment to talk to you about the difference between the term demon possession and demonized. Now, demon possession is not, in my humble opinion, a good translation of the word that's used in the original Greek. The word simply means having a demon. And so I use the term demonized. Demon possession is the final stage of being demonized, where a demon takes over and controls a person, as the man called Legion. You remember him. But there are many different stages of being demonized before you get to the point of being possessed by that demon. There's oppression. There is obsession. There are other different levels, harassment. All these different levels prior to being possessed. And so I think it's more accurate to simply use the term demonized. Those who were having a demon, who were afflicted or tormented by demons. Now, what are demons? They're simply fallen angels. Remember when Satan was cast out of heaven because of his rebellion? The Scripture says a third of the heavenly host were cast out with him. They joined him in his rebellion. They roam the earth now, and they are evil angels. They are the adversary of God and man. And so these demons would invade people's bodies, harass them, torment them. Some would make people sick. They would bring about in their lives all kind of evil activities. You remember one boy was thrown into the fire. The demon tried to destroy him. Now notice Jesus would cast out these demons with a word. He might say, "Be gone." He might say, "Come out of him, you deaf and dumb spirit." Now some of you have probably seen movies, exorcists, and things like that. There was even a documentary on one of the either History Channel or one of those channels, Discovery, that followed this Catholic priest around as he did exorcisms, casting out of demons. But you know what you notice when you see those? They use this holy water. Supposedly they spray around, and they may say all kind of incantations and incense and all. Jesus didn't do any of that. Didn't need that. That stuff is not where the power is. The power is in Jesus. And Jesus simply, with a word, rebuked them. Be gone. Come out of him. And they had to obey the Lord Jesus. And as Christians, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And He has given us that same authority in His name. But these wicked forces had to obey the command of Jesus. He is sovereign over all the forces of men and angels. Notice also, Jesus healed all who were ill. Now Matthew stresses Jesus healed all. There was no sickness that Jesus did not have authority over. There was no disease or sickness that was beyond His power to cure. And on this occasion, He healed everyone who came. Now I say on this occasion because Jesus did not always heal everybody. You remember when He went to the man who was at Bethsaida, the five porches, the pool of five porches, you remember that? Who was waiting for the waters to be stirred. People were all around. But the Scripture says Jesus only came up to this one man and only healed that one man. But on this occasion, because of what Matthew is about to say, he wants it to be known that Jesus healed everyone, and he wants to state that clearly because he wants us to realize that Jesus, King Jesus, Dr. Jesus, has authority over all diseases and sickness. And that brings us to the second truth about our incomparable Christ. Christ is the incomparable doctor because he alone eradicated the root of diseases. Now here Matthew, having stated that Jesus healed all who were sick, had power over all those who were demonized, then he says this was in order that he might fulfill the prophecy. And he quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, a Masonic chapter that talks about the servant Christ. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Matthew says, Christ is the incomparable doctor because He alone has eradicated the very root of all diseases. And what is the root of all disease? Sin. It was because of sin that disease and sickness and death entered into this creation. Now, I'm not saying if you get the flu, it's because you've committed some sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the very fact that there is a flu is because the bottom line that there's sin in this universe, that we live in a fallen creation. And so Jesus came to deal with the root of sin. Now, Matthew tells us two things in particular. First, Jesus received and took away our infirmities. He Himself took our infirmities. You see the word took? It means to receive to one's self and then take away. So it's the idea of taking it to yourself, receiving it, and then taking it away. In fact, it's used over in Matthew 10, in verse 8, where we read Jesus saying, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you receive. That's the word. Not freely you took, but freely you received, freely give. And so this word carries the idea of receiving. Well, how did Jesus receive our infirmities? I think He received them when He empathized with those who were sick. Now, during His earthly life, during His ministry on earth, apart from the cross, He did not actually take on people's sicknesses. But what He did take on was the pain, the agony of their sicknesses. You see, Jesus, being God, understood exactly what every person was thinking, what they were going through, what pain they were experiencing. He understood that. And when a sick person came to Him, He knew perfectly, beyond sympathy, He was able to empathize, actually feel what they felt, the pain they were experiencing, the agony they were going through, and in doing that, He took their infirmities upon Himself. You see, we fail to realize that it cost Jesus to heal people. Remember when the lady reached out in the crowd and grabbed his robe and she said, wait a minute, somebody touched me because power has gone out. There was an effect that it had on Jesus to heal people, and he knew someone had been healed because he felt that drain go out. And so he received the agony and the pain of sicknesses that people had that he healed. And that's why we read in the Gospels about Jesus having such compassion on people who were sick, as you see in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus took and received our infirmities in that he felt the pain, the agony of the disease and sickness of those whom he healed. Now, secondly, Jesus carried away, he experienced the burden of our diseases and carried them away. You see the word carried? Again, it carries the idea of experiencing the burden of something and carrying it away in that burden. In fact, it's used again, over in Matthew chapter 20, in a parable. You remember the parable of the man who went out and hired people to go out and work for him, and he hired some in the morning, he hired some a little later, a little later, a little later, and then he went to pay them, and he paid them all the same thing. And you remember the guys who went out early in the day complained? Look at what they said. And they use the same word that's translated carried in the passage in Matthew. In verse 12, saying, the last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. They said, look, we have had to endure the burden of the heat and the labor all day long. So you see, the word carries the idea of a burden, and Jesus experienced the burden of our diseases. And what is the burden of our diseases? The ultimate pain of disease is sin. When Jesus saw sick people, diseased people, he saw the root cause of their disease, and that sin. And it pained him. When he saw the effects that sin had wrought on mankind whom he loved, the suffering, the agony, the pain that sin had wrought on people, it hurt him. It pained him. It actually made him angry. Remember when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead? You may have never looked at that passage. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn over to that. I don't have it up on the overheads. But the Scripture says, you remember that Jesus wept right before he brought Lazarus back from the dead. Now, that passage used to somewhat puzzle me because I thought, why did he weep? He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He knew they were going to have him back, you know. Some commentators think that he just had such compassion for what Martha and Mary were going through in their grief that he wept. And that might have been it. Have you ever been so angry, so mad that you got tears in your eyes? Over in John 11, in verse 33, listen to this now. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that is Mary, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. And that word in the Greek means he became indignant to be stormed with anger. He was deeply moved in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And he wept. Now, I think he wept because Jesus was gearing up for that battle against sin that was going to rage when he raised up Lazarus from the dead. Because the wages of sin is death. And if he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he had to do battle with sin on that occasion. And he was so angered by the effects of sin that caused death and grief to mankind, that when he was waging, when he was getting ready to wage the battle, when he was gearing up for it, he was so angry, he wept. Notice again, it uses the same word in verse 38. So again, being deeply moved within, becoming indignant, is what the Greek means. Jesus hated sin. Jesus hated the effects of sin. Disease and sickness are one of the effects of sin, and therefore when Jesus saw people sick and when he went to heal people who were sick, it reminded him of the devastating effects of sin, and it stirred up within him something deeper than we can imagine, his anger toward the effects of sin and the pain that sin had brought on mankind. I believe he experienced it when he healed people. And I think it was a fresh reminder that he was going to have to confront sin head on when he went to the cross. I think it was a continual reminder that I am going to have to bear this sin, bear this sickness one day on the cross. Thirdly, he's incomparable doctor because he supremely took our infirmities and carried away our diseases at the cross. Now this prophecy that Matthew mentions out of Isaiah has to do with the death of Jesus. He himself took our infirmities, carried away our diseases, ultimately at the cross. Yet, Matthew uses this prophecy to talk about Jesus' life. What was happening right now. Now, how could he do that? If the prophecy had to do with the death of Jesus and what he accomplished at the cross, how could Matthew say it's fulfilled right now? He could do so because the redemptive work of Jesus includes his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. The redemptive work of Jesus was not just accomplished on the cross, folks. He was working the work of redemption every day of his life. As he lived a sinless life, he was accomplishing the redemption of his people. An aspect of it was the cross, but another aspect was also the resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And so Matthew could talk about Jesus fulfilling this prophecy right now because Matthew saw that all of the life of Jesus was his redemptive work, not just the cross. That's how Jesus could forgive sins before he died on the cross. That's how he could heal people before he died on the cross. That's how he could raise people from the dead before he died on the cross to defeat death. And before he was resurrected to defeat death. Because his whole life. You know, we separate it up into parts, but you can't. It's inseparable. It is the life of Christ. The redemptive work of Jesus. Now, that's why it is truthful to say that there is healing in the atonement. You see, when Jesus died for our sins, he bore the curse of our sins as well. I am convinced when Jesus hung on that cross and when God pulled the veil of darkness across for those 3 hours, that Jesus not only took our sins upon the cross, but he also took our sicknesses and our diseases upon the cross. I believe that in those 3 hours of darkness, And I believe God pulled the veil of darkness across because no man was worthy to look upon what His Son was going through in those hours. That He bore the curse of sin, which is disease and sickness and ultimately death. He bore all of that in Himself during those 3 hours. Every sickness, the pain, the agony, the nausea, the backache, the ravaging, the seizures, everything that sin has ever wrought in sickness and in disease, I believe Jesus bore that in His body on the cross. That's why you and I, and that's why we have the healing properties in our body today. Because of the cross. You remember what God told Adam and Eve in the garden? If they ate of that forbidden fruit, what would happen? He says, you shall surely die. Now, did they die when they ate of it? They started dying. They died spiritually, but they didn't die physically, not right then. That God would have been totally just to have just killed them right there. But I thank God in His grace, because of the coming cross, and that Jesus would bear the diseases and infirmities, that He allowed the body to have the immune system, the healing properties. Now listen to what I'm saying, folks. I do not think that there would be such a thing as the immune system of human bodies that gives a body the ability to heal itself had it not been for the cross of Jesus. Because the wages of sin is death. And death would have come to Adam and Eve and none of us would ever be here. But God, knowing that they would sin, looked ahead and prepared, just as Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world, God looked ahead and He says, if by grace I will allow the human body to have healing properties. And we still die eventually. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you that anytime you get over a virus, Dr. Jesus has healed you. That it's because Jesus died on the cross that your body is even able to experience any healing. When you take an antibiotic and it kills that bacteria and your body responds by healing itself, it's Dr. Jesus who's healed you. And Dr. Jesus' death on the cross is the reason that's possible. And because of His common grace, He makes it possible for all mankind. Just like He causes the sun and the rain to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He has given this property in the human body because of His grace. But it's all predicated on the cross of Jesus Christ. And so you and I ought to praise God every time we get over a headache. Every time we get over a cold, we ought to praise God for the cross. We ought to praise Him every day, because if it wasn't for grace, He could kill us like that and He'd be just, right? We don't deserve anything but death. All right, that brings up the question. Does this mean Christians are totally free from all diseases? There are folks that say, yes, you should be, since Jesus took your sins to the cross, right? Since He bore your sickness on the cross, then as a Christian, you ought to be free from all sickness. You should never be sick. That's what they reason. Well, let's think about it for a moment. Now, Jesus did take our sins and our infirmities to the cross. I have said that. But what else did He take to the cross? He took our sins, right? And also He took our death to the cross, right? Okay, are you free from sin yet? Anybody? Okay, I'll ask your wife if you think you are. Is anybody free from death yet? No. Then why should we expect anybody to be free from sickness yet? Now, when will you be free from sin in your resurrected body, right? When will you be free from death in the resurrected body? Then when will you be free from sickness? In your resurrected body. Now, does God heal today apart from medicine? Yes. Does He heal through medicine? Yes. Anytime you experience any healing, it's God healing you predicated on the cross of Christ. You see what I'm saying? Should Christians go to doctors? Yes, unless God tells you not to. Look, my doctor's not healing me. Dr. Jesus is. My doctor's just giving me some medicines to help the immune system in my body that Jesus causes to operate because of His death on the cross. To have a little help, kick in. All right, that brings us to these final statements. When you find yourself sick, what should you do? Ask God to show you if it is for your discipline. Yes, that's true. The Bible says that sometimes God uses sickness to get our attention, to discipline us, to bring us back on the right path. Secondly, give thanks. Scripture says, in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So God, I thank you I got this awful, rotten, stinking cold. Thirdly, look to Jesus as your strength to be with you during this infirmity, during this sickness. Learn about His strength. You won't ever learn about His strength until you're weak. And when sickness drains you of your strength and makes you weak, learn that Jesus is your strength. Then number four, recognize God is sovereign in His healing. It's God who heals. Now, why does God choose to heal some people and not others? I don't know. I really don't. If you find out, let me know. But He does. In His sovereign will, He'll choose to miraculously heal some people. And in other people, just as lovingly, just as miraculously, He says no. Now, I'm comfortable just leaving that with God. But know He's sovereign. And then, number five, ask Him to heal you. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, God, please, Jesus, heal me. Paul prayed three times that he'd be healed from his thorn in the flesh, right? So I don't see a thing wrong with saying, God, you know, please heal me. I'd love to be healed. But then bow before His sovereignty. Trust Him to heal in His time and in His way to His glory. And yes, sometimes He heals through death. But trust that into His hands. But as we come to worship the incomparable Christ as Dr. Jesus, will you this week just reflect on all that He's done for you, all the times you've been sick and gotten well, and just thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for taking your sicknesses, your diseases, experiencing anything you've experienced. I believe He has experienced it in those 3 hours on the cross. We cannot imagine what He went through so that you might experience healing from your diseases today. What a God. What love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are willing and were willing to take our diseases, to carry away our infirmities to the cross, that we might experience healing today. Thank you so much. We rest in you as we experience sickness. We rest in you to bring the healing that is according to your will, to give us the grace we need during that time of sickness, to trust you, to praise you, to thank you, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.